Okay. We're going to go in order, Bezat Hashem, from waking up in the morning, etc. But it's Elul, and there's an old custom to say L'David Hashem Ori during Elul. So we'll spend a few minutes discussing L'David Hashem Ori, especially a comment from Rav Hirsch. First of all, why do we say L'David Hashem Ori during Elul until Yom Kippur, until Simchas Torah? So there are two reasons. The official, original, old reason is that it's Kabbalistic. This custom began. The earliest Sefer which quotes this custom is from the early 1700s. This custom, the earliest Sefer which quotes it, is the earliest 1700s. The first place it's mentioned in all of Torah literature is the early 1700s. How do I know? I don't know all of Torah literature. There's a person out there, a very chashuv, a giant of a Talmud Chacham, and a scholar, Dr. Schneer Lyman. He knows everything. So he mentioned that. So the original source is, it's Kabbalistic. Hashem's name is mentioned 13 times in L'David Hashem Ori. And the number 13, the Yud Gimel Midos of Hashem. So the early Kabbalistic custom was that if you say this every day, twice a day, somehow it's like we're conjuring up the Yud Gimel Midos, and it's a big skula for having a good din on Yom Kippur. That's the original reason. Later, other reasons developed. It says in the beginning, Ori and Yishi, and the Medrash says Ori is Rosh Hashanah, and Yishi is Yom Kippur. So there's a min. So therefore, the minig is to say this tefillah. Okay. This is Rav Hirsch on Tehillim. And Rav Hirsch has a comment here on probably the most famous pasuk in L'David Hashem Ori. This comment of Rav Hirsch is crucial. This is the most important of our Torah you're going to hear, at least until tomorrow, from me. And you have to know this from Rav Hirsch. What does the pasuk say? Acha shalati meshem oso avakesh, shifti b'beis Hashem koyim mechayay. I want to be in Beis Hashem my whole life. Always in Beis Hashem. So I'd say, always at the base of Medrash, always learning. Then the next phrase says, "Lachzos b'noam Hashem ulevakir b'heichalo," and to visit the Heicha. So you're always visiting. What does this mean? So Rav Hirsch makes a comment here. This comment of Rav Hirsch. He says similar ideas everywhere. If you read my books, I'm always quoting Rav Hirsch. Everything Rav Hirsch says is similar to this yisod. This is mamash what life is about. You know, what's my goal for the year? What's my goal for the year? So, aside from the sheer goal to, let's say, win sports day, aside from my personal goal to make it to the finals, at least, in the ping pong tournament, so what's the goal for the year? So you want to know your goal for the year? Your goal for the year is that you fulfill this paragraph of our verse. Look what he says. Shifti b'veis Hashem. I'm reading the underlined parts. It cannot mean physical dwelling in the actual house of Hashem. Even the Kohanim were not constantly in the temple. What do you mean? No one spends their whole life in the Beis HaMikdash. So what does it mean? The phrase rather describes that, by the way, Rav Hirsch wrote in German. He wrote in advanced German, translated into English. So a lot of times you read Rav Hirsch, then you say, here's what he's saying. Okay. The phrase rather describes the conception of life and of the fulfillment of the duties which can make any place a divine sanctuary in the spirit, any place a divine sanctuary. And your home, where you live in your regular life, can be a Beis Hashem. Like what? In the spirit of the biblical injunction, the pasuk means that your goal is that where you live your regular life, you get married and you have a family, your home is a Beis Hashem. Even the actual building of the house of Hashem fulfills its purpose. Only if all of our lives outside the temple walls will be sanctified by the understanding purity and devotion taught within the sanctuary, so that the presence of Hashem will not only will be sought not only in the temple, but instead will be among us and with us wherever we go. Kol mechaye, not only the few hours which I can spend physically in the halls of the temple, but everywhere and all times is the Beis Hashem. Guys, this is the challenge of life. This is our first year's yesod. You spend a couple of years in yeshiva, then you spend every day of your life, hopefully, Bezat Hashem, learning Torah every day. And you go to shul and you hear a drusha from the shul rabbi and you're inspired, and you hear a thing, you're inspired. The challenge of life is not only to be a Ben Torah here in yeshiva. The challenge of life is to be a Ben Torah in your regular life. That your ordinary life is a Beis Hashem. That's what it means. You visit the Beis Medrash. Rav Nementzahl visits most of the day, every day, for the last 70 years. Okay. You visit the Beis Medrash, and your whole life, shifted to Beis Hashem, means my regular life at home, since I'm living based on the Torah, based on the mitzvot, is a Beis Hashem. This is Rav Hirsch's whole yesod. His whole yesod was, we don't keep Avodas Hashem in shul. See, the broader thing was as follows. The broader thing Rav Hirsch had, who was Rav Hirsch fighting?
The Reform.
The Reform, correct. So the Reform movement, when it began, so the Lehavdil by the Goyim, so Avodas Hashem is in the church. You go to church, the idea of doing mitzvos in your daily life is not something you focus on. And so the Reform movement was very similar. You go to temple, but like all of the rituals in your life, you get rid of. So Rav Hirsch was fighting that. He says, no. The main place you serve Hashem is not in shul. The main place you serve Hashem is when you're driving to work. What are you listening to on the radio when you drive to work? We all know what's on there, the radio. There's the news, that's like neutral, sort of. You can have shiurim, or you can have other stuff. You can have nice good music, okay? If that's correct, you can have good music, that's also positive. Then you have other stuff. So what are you listening to in the car? That's Avodas Hashem. You come home from work, what does your house feel like? Does your house feel like, you know, focus is serving Hashem, saying brachos, having nice discussions at the Shabbos table, not having lashon hara? I don't mean, we discussed yesterday, I don't mean, are you telling your kids Tanakh stories or bedtime stories? That's advanced. That's if your last name is Nevinson. But what goes on in your house? What's the norm in your house? That's this pasuk. Shifti beveis Hashem kol yemei chayai. There's another pasuk, and our first says exactly the same thing. We say it in the Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos. Shesulim beveis Hashem bechatzros Elokeinu yafrichu. You're rooted in the house of Hashem, and you blossom in the courtyards. Rav Hirsch says that's what it means. There, Beis Hashem means the Beis HaMikdash, he says. A person always feels rooted in the Beis HaMikdash, rooted in the yeshiva. But where do you blossom? Where do you do your thing and accomplish and get out there and serve Hashem? Bechatzros. Guys, this is the challenge of life. So, and if you want to think about something during Elul, the challenge is, what am I going to do that my regular life, I'm serving with the Beis Hashem. And this, what can I tell you? This is Rav Hirsch's whole approach, and he applies it everywhere. You go to yeshiva, you hear a drusha, Ravina gives a musar shmuz. The challenge is, okay, now what am I going to do? It's nice to hear a shmuz. You laugh, it's powerful, it's sharp, it's everything. Then, okay, now, regular life, am I going to daven better? Am I going to be more careful how I treat my friends? Once you're married, am I getting more careful? I tell this all the time. The rabbi gives a powerful drasha, and you're inspired to serve Hashem. So when you go home, how do you treat your wife? When you go home, how do you treat your kids? That's where to take the inspiration of making your regular house a Beis Hashem. Very good. Now, very quickly, and then I'm going to quote Rav Hirsch a lot this year. I want to give you one yesod on Rav Hirsch. When you read Rav Hirsch, it's fancy English. His sentences are very long, and Rav Hirsch wrote a certain way. We'll discuss this again, Parshas Vayishlach. Rav Hirsch was in Germany, and this is the way German Jews thought. German Jews would sit down and talk hashkafa and talk philosophy. That's what they would do. That's why it's hard for us Americans to get used, us Western, to get used to reading Rav Hirsch, because we're into everything coming right away, fast. The idea of like reading a long essay with, you know, a long sentence, multi-layered sentence, you know, with like, you know, six polysyllabic words and three dependent clauses, it's hard to get used to. So the answer is, get used to it, it's worth it. Read Rav Hirsch, and they rewrote Rav Hirsch in a different type of, like, more of an American type English. And I like the old style, but the new style is out there. So it's worth it. You fight through Rav Hirsch, there's pearls everywhere. So I have a mashal about Rav Hirsch. So the mashal is like this. Rav Hirsch writes a sentence, and the mashal is the chevra, the original chevra. The chevra sings songs, yeah, and they go high. I'm talking about the original chevra. I'm not such a bucky in the new. They go high, they get very high, and then when you're sure that in the original, when you're sure they can't go any higher, what happens? Another half an octave. That a fair comment? The original chevra. With Rav Hirsch, he writes a sentence. He's got a dependent clause. He's got a comma. He's got a this. And then you're sure the sentence has to end. Nope. Little dash. Another two lines. He'll have a 12-line sentence. So the chevra is a mashal for how Rav Hirsch writes his... and it's hard to get used to. But I'm telling you, it's worth it. It's pearls. If you live your life based on how Rav Hirsch explains the Chumash, explains Nach, you're going to be a massively powerful Oved Hashem. It's a treasure house. It's a treasure house. And, you know, we're doing famous Rashis. What I want to do at some point is do famous Rav Hirsches. Go through every Parsha, like the 10 famous Rav Hirsches on the Parsha. Okay, guys, that's L'David Hashem Ori. Again, the reason for the minig is originally Kabbalistic. 13 Shemos of Hashem, which somehow correspond to the Yud Gimel Midos and Slichos that we're saying now, and that we say from Okay. The other reason for the minig is Ori, system works perfectly. Ori and Yishi, Ori Rosh Hashanah, Yishi is Yom Kippur. That's the other reason for the minig. And the central pasuk in the David Hashem is this pasuk, and we discussed Rav Hirsch's approach to the pasuk, this is life. Elul is about, we'll discuss this when we get to Cheshvan. The challenge of Elul and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is that your ordinary life is at a higher level. Which month represents ordinary life? Which month represents ordinary life?
Cheshvan.
Nothing happens in Cheshvan. We'll get to that. That's Rav Hirsch. Fabulous shot. We'll get to Rav Hirsch. There's nothing in Cheshvan. No Yom Tovs, no fast days, nothing. Cheshvan is ordinary life. The goal, that's what he did. We're going to stop here.